Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles, and we are going to start a Christmas series for the next several weeks here. And the title of the series is right here. I dressed appropriately to go with the barn. Messiah in the Manger is the title of the series and the title of my message today in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, where you can begin to turn right now, is From Majesty to a Manger. From Majesty to a Manger. Luke chapter 2. So if you could turn there. Luke 2. How many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? Raise your hands. How many of you haven't even started Christmas shopping? Raise your hands. How many of you have done most of your Christmas shopping online? Raise your hands. I'm not going to be able to go any stores because of you. There's not going to be any stores anymore. It makes me sad. No hustle, bustle, going out. Don't you like to fight the crowds? Come on, be out there in the middle of it all. What happened to just sitting on your chair ordering stuff? Come on. Just doesn't seem quite right. I don't know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather. And Lord, I thank you for these precious saints here, Lord, who have taken time. And I know many of them, Lord, are feeling the pressure and the busyness, Lord, that is beginning as we enter into this season. And Lord, I just pray that, God, as we spend time today in your word, Lord, as we've spent this time expressing to you our appreciation, Lord, and our thanksgiving for your grace in our lives through worship, now, Lord, that you would deepen our love for you, that you would strengthen our faith in you as we open your word, Lord. And I pray if there's any here that don't know you, Lord, that you would touch them and draw them by your Holy Spirit to yourself. And, Lord, help us to be mindful of the reason for this season. And the real reason is the birth of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for the greatest gift that's ever been given. We pray as we begin to unpackage that gift, Lord, today, that you would help us, Lord, to, Lord, just recognize the preciousness of that gift and more fully the scope of that gift as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's read our text here in verse 1 of Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace," or on earth, "peace rather, goodwill towards men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." A very familiar passage of Scripture, no question. It's one that we all are, if we've been Christians for any amount of time, are accustomed to hearing, particularly this time of year. And it's one that, if we're not careful, that we can lose the impact. We can become a little bit, well, okay, yeah, I know this part, but I want us to stop for a moment and consider and ponder these words of the angel to these shepherds, the workaday men who were out in the fields minding their own business, doing what they had been called to do. They went to the job as they had previously, punched the clock, if you would, and they went to work. An average day at work, that's what they anticipated and expected, but God had a different plan. He intervened first with an angel, one lowly angel, that blew their minds. I mean, can you imagine being a shepherd and there weren't a lot of electric lights and there wasn't a lot of ambient light from the cities surrounding them? They were out in the middle of a field in pretty much pitch darkness, with the exception if maybe they had a light of their own. We're not told. But here they are, kind of in the mundane place, you know, here we are just working. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? All of a sudden, bam, an angel appears in the sky to them out of nowhere. And I'm sure he's shiny because it freaked them out initially. And because that wasn't an everyday occurrence, of course. And then he presents a message to them that is mind-blowing to them. And then a bunch of angels appear, and they start singing. And they sing this hymn, Glory to God in the Highest. And as they're singing, I mean, these angels are probably just stunned by all that they had seen that day. So now they're excited about the announcement of this king, this Messiah. Every Jewish shepherd, every Jewish man or woman were waiting in expectation for that day when Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior, would come. Finally, when they hear the announcement and the grandeur with which the announcement is presented, they're going, wow, but wait a minute. I wonder, I'm certain, in fact, I don't need to wonder, as they listen to what would mark out this king, this Savior, this Messiah, with the announcement and the angels singing and the beauty there, when the Lord tells them here, or the angel tells them here in verse 12, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Wait a minute. I wonder if they were, when they were walking away from all that, going, did we hear this angel right? I mean, here's Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The birth announcements are out. We've heard it. Pretty spectacular, mind-blowing, glorious. But okay, so where are we headed? Well, we're headed to Bethlehem. I remember him saying that. And we're headed for a mansion? No, a palace? No, we're headed for a barn, a manger. And this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Deliverer, Messiah, the Savior, we're going to find him wrapped in swaddling cloths, but the sign is he's going to be in a manger and in a feeding trough. A feeding trough. listen, as we hone in on this one particular part of this story, how radical this is. It's God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, the giver of life, the one who hung the stars and put the universe in motion. He comes, the announcement's pretty rad, but the location is pretty bad. Yeah, he's going to be in a dirty stable. Man, so much for the sanitizing. We're washing our hands, we're putting on masks. And when you think of a baby being born, you don't think of, well, let's, we're going to go have a baby out in the middle of the desert in this kind of dilapidated house. And, it's got a feeding trough where some animals, can you imagine? Come on, you all know when animals like cows or horses or sheep are feeding in a trough, it's not very sanitary. They tend to drool, and the drool isn't nice and clean, and it's kind of thick and slimy, more like the texture of your allergies when you blow your nose. It's like that. And I'm sure that when Mary and Joseph first got there, no room in the inn, you know the story, and they are relegated to this barn, to the stable where the horses and the sheep and the donkeys are all feeding. There's no real way to romanticize this whole scene other than a feeding trough with slobbery, dirty animals, not the most sanitary place to birth a child. And yet, that's where this child is born, in a manger. A dirty stable, if you would, or barn. But guess what? Here's another mind blower that we learn as we look at this manger. It is the place that was planned for him to be born. You see, if you're not careful, at first you might think and hear the innkeeper saying, no, there's no room in the inn, there's no vacancy, and wow, what a bummer. Poor Jesus, what a crazy set of circumstances, you see. And yet, well, the sign, it says that this is the King of Kings, that this is Messiah. Because there was no place in the inn. Now, listen, God had plenty of millennia as the creator to plan this thing out. Micah tells us of Bethlehem, and it's got a second name that I tried to pronounce first service, and I'm not going to mess with this service, but if you want to read the text, it's Micah 5:2. He says, though you are little, speaking of the town of Bethlehem, among thousands in Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. In other words, hey, there's one that is going to be born here in Bethlehem. And though you're a small village, not a big town, yet the ruler of all of Israel is going to be born there. And his origins, that's not where he starts life. He's from the past. He's eternal God, birthed there in that stable. Now, it'd been 700 years from the time that announcement was made by Micah, there in Micah 5:2. To this event that we're reading about here. God had 7 centuries to plan the details of the incarnation and arrange for the arrival of his son in the right place at the right time in the right way. And he could have easily arranged a faithful virgin and a just man from the lineage of David to be those who were located and living at the time that this child was to be born in that period of time. He could have been born right there in Bethlehem, and there wouldn't have to be any kind of moving. He could have chosen somebody that lived in that locality. A couple, a godly couple. I'm sure there was a godly couple there. But no, God chooses Mary and Joseph, who lived, miles away in Nazareth. And he plans for Mary to get pregnant far from the town that is prophesied where Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. She gets pregnant in Nazareth. So now what's he going to do? How's God going to get this young girl who gets pregnant living in Nazareth with her husband Joseph? How's he going to move her to Bethlehem so that the prophecy can be fulfilled out of Micah, among many others? You see, he did it in a totally different way and a much more difficult way. God's ways are not our ways, they are higher. And because they're higher, they're better. And God doesn't always take the easy way. And so here's the deal. God moved Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. How? It's no small task. There was a nation empire-wide census that just so happened to be right just before Mary was due to deliver. Suddenly, the heart of Caesar says, hey, I need some more tax money. You need to go wherever you were born to the city, locality in which you were born, and you need to register there because I'm gonna do a little tax thing. Need a little more money in the coffers. And so what happens? At just the right time, just before the deliverance of this baby, Mary and Joseph have to make a long journey to Bethlehem. You see, that's why we can look around today at what's going on in our world. Not to worry. We're not to worry about it. Why? Because God's got a plan. Yeah, but God, you need to do this. And how many of us have advised it? This is what needs to happen. If you don't do this and you don't hurry about that and you got this to deal with, and do you realize who's in this position and that position and what they're doing and the kind of attitude and what's going to happen to the economy and all that? Do you realize, God, that here's what needs to happen? Let me help you. Can I tell you that God is in control? And sometimes it looks like, this is crazy. How's this going to happen? Listen, God, there's nothing too hard for our God. The one who put the sun and then set the orbit of the planets and the earth spinning around the sun, you see. He is the one that is in control. And again, nothing too hard for him to get this young man and this young woman from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy. You see, here's what we need to realize. The location and the circumstances and situation for the birth of his son, God himself. Well, he's being born exactly, being placed exactly where the Father ordained for him to be. A feeding trough. In a barn. Listen, the manger, it was dirty. But know this, it was planned from eternity. And the purpose, it was a sign. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, well, listen, guys, the Messiah is going to be born. And the thrill and the excitement that pulsed through their veins at the time, I mean, they were thrilled, no question. But here's how you're going to know, guys. Here's what's going to mark out for you that this is indeed the King of Kings, Messiah himself. You're going to find when you go looking for Messiah, well, he's not going to be in the place that you would think he might be. You see, and he's not going to be the size that you think he would be initially. You see, there's a sign that I'm going to give you that this particular child that will be born is Messiah, God himself. You're going to find him as you go to look for him there in Bethlehem. He'll be lying in a manger. And there in the feeding trough will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And listen, I guarantee no other king in the world's ways or in the world's eyes, no other governor or family royal was going to be lying in a feeding trough as a baby. He says, this will be a sign to you that this is the King of Kings, and it's not a sign that you would ever conjure up or think on your own. He is going to be in a feeding trough where animals eat. No other king anywhere is going to be lying in a feeding trough except the King of Kings. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, the one who saves us from our enemies, the one who is a fulfiller of the prophecies of God, the Lord, as the angel stated, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around these angels and the Son on display would be a baby. Go find him. You see, he is born in a manger, not a place that is sanitary but dirty. That was planned sovereignly by God. It was a sign, a glorious sign. When the announcement was made, the angels, initially it was made by one angel, but as soon as they said, and this, or the one said, and this will be a sign, suddenly the angels, many angels appeared, you see, in the heavens and began to sing the hymn, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men with whom God is well pleased. They were joined, the glory of that announcement, the simplicity of the Savior, than there lying in the manger. Peace is promised because of that announcement. And you look around today and you say, well, I don't see peace, Pastor. Yeah, the peace is promised to whom? Peace on those, for those on earth with whom God is well pleased. You see, those of us who are believers, there's only one way we're ever going to see peace in this world, and that is for the people in this world to live their lives above everything else, no longer to please themselves, but to please God. And the reason we lack peace is because we are living to please ourselves. We are focused on ourselves. It's all about me, you see. And when you have that attitude, if you live out that life, you'll never have peace. You see, a lot of times many in this world think that peace is financial security and prosperity materially. But you look around at the people that have it, and let me ask you a question. Why is it that many who have the millions are doing drugs and going from woman to woman in marriage or man to man in marriage? Why is it that they're committing suicide? Why is that if getting all the stuff that the world has to offer brings peace? Why can't they sleep? Why are they in such turmoil? Because they're living to please themselves. You live to please yourselves, you lose your peace. You will never experience the peace that God designed and desires. This world can't provide that. Only God can provide that. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit in Luke 10 in verse 21. And he prayed, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, these truths from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your good pleasure. You see, I love the fact that God sent his son, Messiah, as a baby. I mean, who is intimidated or fearful of a baby? I mean, you don't go, oh no, it's a baby. I mean, well, some of us may freak out because kind of scared to hold them or, you know, don't know how to deal with them. I mean, I think that, fathers many times initially, at least I was a little, how do you hold them now? You know, like this, you know, you're just kind of, and, you know, you're a little, I don't want to, oh, support the neck. Oh yeah, he's flopping around. Seems obvious, but. But a baby, nobody that I've ever met thinks of a baby as unapproachable or intimidating. You see, the manger, the whole scene, is one that where we see the humility demonstrated in that baby. Jesus, as he was walking, as he grew, planet Earth. His whole life, from his birth to his death, the invitation was there to follow me. We're called as disciples of Jesus Christ to follow him. When Jesus was asked where he lived, he said, hey, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head except there he was in the manger here as a baby. You see, the manger was step one that would lead to the cross. He humbled himself, as we read in Philippians several weeks back, in verse 6 of chapter 2, though speaking of Jesus, he was in the form of God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, starting his life in a lowly feeding trough. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's how Jesus saves. That's how Messiah fulfills the promises. That is how the Lord reigns. From infinite deity, Jesus came to a feeding trough, then to the final torments of the cross. You see, for those who have eyes to see, the message of the angels makes sense. We are called to follow him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, in verse 33, it says, "Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." The road to life, the road to joy, is not easy. It's lowly. It's a hard road. Yeah, it says, "Fear not, the angels, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Listen, there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than to follow Jesus Christ. There's no greater peace than to follow Jesus Christ. And that road leads down a path that is not all about me, a path that is all about him. You see, we see in the manger there this baby born in humility. But we also see in this baby born in that manger accessibility. You see, the invitation is, "Whosoever will, let him come." The Bible says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." If you, if man, any man or any woman is willing to humble yourself, if you are willing to lower yourself, as these shepherds, to go to a cave, to go to a feeding trough where the animals hang out. "Oh no, I can't be bothered with that. I'm the Caesar, you know. I can't be bothered with going. Let the shepherds go there. I don't want to dirty myself. I don't want to go into a stinky, you know, stable with a bunch of smelly animals. Ooh, man, I don't have enough sanitizer to do that. I didn't bring my mask." You see, humility, coming and being willing to die to yourself and to live your life to please God for his honor and for his glory. God has made it accessible to anybody. The King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who fulfilled hundreds of prophecies that the Old Testament makes about the coming of Messiah, and does so with exact accuracy, as we read in Micah. Here's Mary and Joseph in Nazareth, and God did fulfill through circumstances that maybe if you were aware of the scripture at the time, and you would have never thought that Joseph and Mary would be the people, because she's going along in her pregnancy and she's still in Nazareth. But God at the right time caused everything to turn. There's nothing too hard for God, precious saints. Whatever you're going through presently, whatever's happening in your life that doesn't make sense, maybe, "Well, God, how are you going to do that by going this way? You better hurry, God." Well, God's never in a hurry, because everything's easy to him. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. He can get you, he can get me where he wants us to be in short order. So we just need to look to him and lean on him and trust him even when we can't see. Faith is the substance of things that are what? Hoped for, but not yet seen. "Well, I don't know how he's going to do it." That's okay. You know what? That's okay. But he needs to hurry. He doesn't need to hurry. You see, he knows what he's doing. Well, but I don't understand. That's okay. Not important that you understand. Well, what do you mean? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your, what? So why do you want to understand? Well, I don't get it. Well, that's okay. But he does. And he's going to do it. He's going to take care of it. And you're to come to him boldly, without fear. The picture of the baby in the manger, the accessibility. Nobody's intimidated. You don't have to be pre-screened. If you were to see the man's king, man's authorities, if you, for example, wanted to spend any time with the president, some of you say, why would I have, I ever want to do that? I'll pray for you. But anyhow, I mean, it's not easy. You have to be pre-screened. I'm sure they do a background check and all of that stuff. You'd have to give the whole history of your life and where you were born and who your mom and dad are and if you have any criminal record and all that stuff. And that's just to get the initial thing. And then the day that you got to go into the White House, if you were able to do so, don't you know you'd have to be patted down, x-rayed, everything else. And then to finally walk into the presence of the president. Who's just sitting there eating his lunch. You see, God has made it so that nobody has to be pre-screened. You can come just like you are with all of your sin, with all of your brokenness, with all of your questions, with all of your difficulties and battles. You can come boldly before the throne, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter what race, no matter what sex, no matter how miserably you've failed the invitation because of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, who took your place, the shame for your sin, the guilt for your sin. Who bled and died the death that you deserve to die in your place that you might be forgiven, that you might be changed presently, and that you might be at peace because of the promised glory to those who would believe in him to be in heaven for all eternity. I love that. Jesus, so approachable, so accessible, whosoever will, let him come. Have you come to Christ today? I think of the scene with the disciples. Here's the Messiah. This is Messiah. And they're just protecting him. They're being his kind of his security team, his secret service. That's the way they kind of felt. You get that drift when all the children are being brought to Jesus, who happens to be sitting, taking a rest, and the children are being brought to Jesus. And the disciples are looking on and seeing all the kids climbing up in his lap. I can just imagine the whole scene. And you know, all little kids are attracted. And I'm sure Jesus was very attractive and just open and fun and that kind of a thing. I don't think he was like this staunch kind of serious guy that many times he's painted to be. Yes, he was serious, but he also knew how to enjoy a good time because kids aren't usually attracted to people that are, hey, I'm cool. Get away. You know, I mean, I'll bet you he tickled them. I'll bet you he played peekaboo with them like I do with my grandchildren. I'll bet you he got down and wrestled around with them. And when they saw the disciples, all the children coming and crawling up in his lap and pushing on his face and that kind of a thing, they said, hey, hey, parents, come on, come on. Get these kids out of here. Take care of these kids. This is Messiah. What are they doing? He's got stuff to do. He's big time. Don't you know? And Jesus said, hey, disciples, chill. Just chill, guys. Suffer the little children. Allow the little children to come unto me. I love them, for of such is the kingdom of God. You got to come as a child. You see, it's all about a relationship. It's not about intimidation. We should never be intimidated as Christians when we come to God. You see, the Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of the Creator, deity, God Himself, to find what? Grace to help to meet the need. Born in a manger. Yeah, it was a place that was dirty, but guess what? Until Jesus comes into our life, we can't clean up our act. You and I are dirty. Thank God that His mercies are new every morning. The manger, it was God's plan. Things in our lives that, oh, Lord, this doesn't make sense. Hey, God's got a plan. Trust Him. It was a sign. People are watching. When you go through those times where you don't know and you don't understand, what are they seeing by way of a sign? Do they see Jesus? Do they sense that peace? Do you continue to recognize God is using me in the face of this difficulty for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to Himself, to grow me and to show me His power? You see, He brings the difficult times to give us a chance to see the impossible many times accomplished. Ways that things come to pass that we go, oh man, Lord, I just when I thought You, and You did it. You, thanks, Lord. And I look back and I'm so amazed by how He brought this particular situation that I thought was an impossible situation to pass and to use for His glory. We're called to follow Him. If any man comes after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Hardest thing to do, isn't it? In fact, impossible. Impossible without the power of Jesus Christ. Without putting your hand to the plow to follow Him and not looking back and say, God, I want to do what You want me to do. I want to be who You've called me to be. I want to live my life to bring honor and glory to Your name and to please You over and above anything or anyone else, especially including myself. You see, we are living in a world that is growing increasingly chaotic. Why is that? Because it's all about self. If you could fix yourself, if self-focus and self-esteem and self-love and self, if that was the fix, then we ought to be fixed. But guess what? The opposite is true, just like the Bible says. Listen, the more you focus on yourself, if you love your life, you see, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life for the purpose of pleasing and glorifying Christ, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find life not only presently and purpose presently and power of the Holy Spirit presently, but you're going to find life eternally. You see, again, the people who have it all, who are able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, who are living for self, if that's what really life is all about, then why, I ask you, are they committing suicide and going from relationship to relationship? Why are they drugged out? You see, if loving self and living for self is the answer, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason for the season. As we take a glimpse into the manger, we learn, you see, what it is to follow the Savior. And we are to live for the purpose of bringing Him glory and honor. And it's there that you will find life by dying to yourself. and living, you see, for his purpose, putting others before yourself. It's the acronym JOY: Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. May we maintain that perspective as we head into this holiday season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for the work and ministry of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that as you've spoken to our hearts today, God, that we would be mindful of the conviction and the work of your Spirit. Lord, that we would be those who in this season, Lord, are living for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to your name, of pleasing you. Being at peace, Lord, because we know that you have a plan and a purpose in the present situation in our lives, in our country, in our locality. God, you've got a plan and purpose here for us. And so, God, we need to look to you so that we know how you want us to respond in each situation. We need to bring every thought and every imagination into obedience in the captivity of Christ. And when we don't understand why certain things happen, why plans are altered and things change, God, may we not lean to our own understanding, but may we in all our ways acknowledge you as Lord and allow you to direct our paths. May we depart from evil and do the good thing, the God thing, and in so doing, experience the joy that you've designed and desire for us as your children. The peace, Lord, may we keep that and maintain that peace by keeping our eyes on the prize, Lord, and the greatest gift, and that's Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today that have not yet given their lives to you, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.